Blog Talk Radio.
I feel just like a kite, but one without a string, one that is floating around. I don't know what tomorrow will bring. I feel just like a bird, but one without a home, one that is floating over endless oceans, empty horizons, no rest in sight. What does it mean when you say you wanna be free? Free to sing, free to dance, free to let someone take a glance in a world that's free of me. Then you say you're moving on. Then you say I've got other plans. Oh, 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 girl, oh, you're moving in the wrong direction. Moving in the wrong direction, yeah. You're moving in the wrong direction, so far away from me. You're moving in the wrong direction, moving in the wrong direction, yeah. You're moving in the wrong direction, so far away from me.
Real Talk for Real People show. It's a show that is designed to give you a bird's eye view of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov, the Almighty. and to help you have a paradigm shift. You see, during these studies, we do critical analysis and assessment. We leave no stone or leaf unturned. And we try to cross every T and dot every I, so you can come to some firm conclusion. So you can establish or reestablish your relationship with him. But you may be asking, who is the we, Yamsuth? It's Katria from New York City. So Shahuda from Detroit, Michigan. Yours truly, Yamsuth. Praise Yah. But before we get into these studies, I'd like to make a comment on contemporary subject matters. Now, if you're not connected with the Almighty, it tells me you don't have any wisdom and understanding, and you're stupid. And being stupid or ignorant, you may be asking yourself, why is the violence ratcheting up in our communities? Because of a lack of connection with the great I Am. You see, the Most High said, don't become like your oppressors and choose none of their ways. But we choose to emulate all their ways. See, they are major violence in the case of Russia, so on and so forth. They're big daddy and big mama violence. They allow us to be mini violence. What do you mean by mini violence, Yamsuth? Well, they allow us to kill each other, mistreat each other, and so on and so forth. But we better not bring it across the bridge. Okay? So if you're wondering why things are ratcheting up as far as the violence is concerned, Big Mom and Big Daddy is ratcheting up. You know, they assaulted the Capitol. Small wonder we try to emulate things in our own communities, mostly against one another, becoming like our oppressors and choosing all of their ways. The Most High warned about that, didn't he? All righty now. Welcome to the Real Talk for Real People Show. So without further ado, let me bring on Sister Yehudi from Detroit, Michigan. Sister Yehudi, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Thank you. Shalom. Bless your family and people out there that's driving. Most High is with you. And how you doing, young man?
I'm doing okay, Sister Yehudi. How you doing, sister?
Oh, I can't complain because it's not going to do no good anyway.
You show me what it said now, don't you?
Yep. Be quiet and just
well,
like
you know.
Say,
Well, you know, social direct your complaints or concerns to the Most High.
So true, so true. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm done. Bring on our other brother.
Okay, good to hear you, Sister Hootie. Got your ear. May the Most High. Thank you. May the Most High bless you, brother. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Shalom, fam. All praise to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. How y'all doing?
We're doing okay, family. May Most High bless you and your family.
Most High bless you as well, as you, Sister Yehudi, and your family.
Thank you. Toda.
My heart and prayer goes out to sisters and brothers in Madagascar, Malawi, and Mozambique. They got hit with, I think they called the storm Anna, and a lot of people got hurt. A lot of people are displaced. They're saying that climate change is making the weather severe. And those people in those places, they don't really contribute to global warming, according to what scientists have put forth. But they suffer in the most.
Exactly. Yeah, Madagascar, places like that, they're not industrialized countries. And they offer no contribution to what is going on, as Cartier alluded to. And as he said, I concur with him. They're getting the worst end of the deal.
Wow.
So I pray that they get help. I pray that they get relief. Pray that the world pays attention to their plight. But they're in dire straits right now.
Praise God.
Even before what happened, yes. Thanks for bringing that to attention, yes.
Yeah, that was good. I missed that somewhere in my researches today. I missed that, Katya. Thank you very much, brother, for bringing that to our attention so we can pray for you.
Yes.
Well, Katya, Sister Yehudi? Y'all done got quiet. So I guess y'all ready to get busy, right?
Okay.
Okay. Yes,
all right.
No doubt.
Thank you. Right. Fellow students, in Radio Land, Cartier and Social Hootie. May the Most High bless us, direct us, and lead our steps so we don't lean to our own understanding and fall into a trap. So let's go to the 22nd chapter of the book of Isaiah. And this pronouncement is against us, a futuristic vision against Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm. Valley
and
of vision. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So it said, what can happen to you that you have gone, all of you, up on the roofs? O you who are full of tumult, you clamorous town, you city so gay. Your slain are not the slain of the sword, nor the dead of battle. Your officers have all departed. They have fled far away. Your survivors were all taken captives, taken captive without their bones. This is why I say, let me be. I will weep bitterly. Press not to comfort me for the ruin of my poor people, which they brought upon themselves. For my LM Yah of hosts had a day of tumult and din and confusion waiting just for them. Kerr, the Assyrians, raised in the valley of vision. They will be the ones. And Sheol on the hill with Elam, while Elam bore the quiver. Elam was a son of Shem. And troops of mounted men. And Kerr beareth the shield. And your choicest lowlands were filled with chariots and horsemen. They stormed at Jehuda's gateway and pressed beyond its screen. You gave thought on that day to the arms and the forest house. You know where the forest house was. But that was Solomon's armory. You gave thought to it. And you took note of the many breaches in the walls in the city of Dawid, King Dawid. You collected water on a lower pool. And you counted the houses of Jerusalem and pulled down houses to fortify the wall. And you constructed a basin between the two walls for the water in the old pool, but you gave no thought to him who planned it. See, that's our problem. We always try to fix the problem, but we give no thought to the one who planned it. And that's what gets us in a whirlwind of trouble, as in case of COVID-19 or anything else for that matter. As Sister Yehudi indicated, We what did Sister Hootie just say? Making complaints and so on and so forth.
Not going to do any good.
Right. So they give no thought to who planted this situation in your life or whatever. So, and as I responded to Sister Hootie, take to the Most High in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
See, this was left there to indicate to you there is a solution, but they're not looking for it. They're looking for man-made solutions. They looked to the house of forest, which was the armory that King Solomon built. They gave thought to it. They did everything possible. They built double walls and built a reservoir to maintain water for this long onslaught while giving no
doomsday
thought.
Prepping.
What's that, Cottrell?
Doomsday prepping.
That's all they were doing. But the sad thing about
it.
The sad thing about it, and we've read this, fellow students. What did King Dawid do when pressed with situations? What did the first thing he do? Did he come to Yom Suf? Did he go to Kashmir?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, did he go to Sushi Hootie?
Mm-hmm.
That's why he was a man after the Most High. He knew why he was in the situation and who caused the problem. And so his thing, let me go to the source. You know, that's what I always say. When I go to these jobs sometimes and the people acting up and acting crazy and whatnot, I don't want to talk to the peons. I want to talk to the person in charge. So it would be in your best bet. Don't talk to Young Sue. I can't do nothing for you. Go to the one in charge, which they should have did, which we should do. But we would much rather try to emulate our oppressors, think that's going to solve us, solve our problem. But they gave no thought to him who planned it. You took no note of him who designed it long before. My Yah Elohim opposed summoned on that day to weeping and lamenting, to torturing and girding with sackcloth. Instead, you know what they were doing? Instead of going to Yah in humility and prayer, instead they were rejoicing in merriment, killing of cattle and slaughtering of sheep, eating of meat and drinking of wine. Let's have a good time. Eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Doomsday prophecy, as Cartrell said. Then the Elohim of hope revealed himself to my ears, Isaiah saying. Their iniquity shall never be forgiven. This iniquity, what they're doing, until you die, said my Elohim of hosts. Yah. Thus said Yah, Elohim of hosts. Go in to see that steward, that Sibnah, in charge of the palace. What have you there? Whom have you here? That you have hewn out a tomb for yourself here? Question mark. Oh, you who has hewn your tomb on high, you set yourself up high. Oh, you who have hollowed out for yourself an abode in the cliffs, oh, you just set your place up. The Elohim is about to shake you severely, fellow, then wrap you around himself. Indeed, he will wind you about him like a headdress or turban, off to a broad land into captivity. There you shall die, and there shall be the chariot bearing your body. See, you just set yourself on high, like some of us do. You know, I already got your nice little tomb set up in the hollows in the land. You got everything planted out. But it's not going to work out that way. Obviously, Shibnah was not following the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. Oh, shame of your master's house, for I will hurl you from your station, and you shall be torn down from your stand. And here's what I'm going to replace you. And that day I will summon my servant, Elakim, son of Azkiah. Who was he? He was the finance minister for King Hezekiah of Yehuda. Say, I'm going to put this fellow in your place. And I will invest him with your tunic. Gird him with your sash. And deliver your authority into his hand. And he shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the men. He's going to look out for them and the men of Jerusalem. You wouldn't do it. You were looking out for yourself. I will place the keys of King David's palace on his shoulder. And what he unlocks, none may shut. And what he locks, none may open. He shall be a seat of honor to his father's household. I will fix him as a peg in a firm place on which all the substance of his father's household shall be hung. His father's household, that will be the linchpin, shall be hinged upon him. The sprouts and the leaves, all the small vessels, from bowls to all sorts of jars. And that day declares the Elohim of hosts, the peg fixed in a firm place shall give way. It shall be cut down and shall fall. Even he shall fall, and the weight it supports shall be destroyed. Why? But it is Yah who has spoken. Even though I'm going to replace you, Shibnah, with Elakim, son of Helakiah, for a fixed period of time, even that being said, his days will be number two. Praise Yah. Cartrell, Sister Shehudi, may the Most High bless you. Give you wisdom and understanding, you have the mic.
Yes, sir. You see that there's an order in the nation of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, this is a bad time for Judah.
Right.
Most I was bringing judgment, and a lot of us don't know that Isaiah the prophet, week two, he said, therefore, look away from me. Let me weep bitterly. don't try to comfort me concerning the destruction of the daughters of my people. For Yah's right. army has a day of panic, subjugation, and confusion for Judah and the people of the land. And then he gets down to Shebna. Shebna was the royal keeper of the house.
Right.
He's the keeper of the king's house, Hezekiah, King Hezekiah.
Mm-hmm.
And he must have been doing something more for the most high to bring this down.
They're pouring him like out.
He's thinking about himself. You're going to make yourself a tomb like amongst the kings, like you're some kind of king. Most high said that's not happening.
Right.
But we see that these families that work with the king, it was a family thing. Mm-hmm. Because he says that I will summon my servant, my king, son of Hilkiah, and I will clothe him with your tunic and tie a sash securely around him. I will hand your authority over him, and he will become a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and Judah. Then I will put the key of the house of King David on his shoulders when he opens and shuts. They try to say this is Jesus, but they twist stuff around anyway. When he shuts, no one will open, and I will drive him like a pig in a firm place, and he will become a throne of glory to his father's house. So we see this like a family business. These people were chosen by families to do certain things. And it's similar to what the order of the Levites were. We had the Merariites, the Gershonites, and the Kohathites. Everybody had their role to play. So we could see that these were service to the king, and it was a very important job that they had that apparently Shebna took for granted. But Judah, this is the same attitude we got now. And the Most High said, I will not forgive them for this attitude that they have. He says, therefore, Elohim of armies called you to weeping and wailing. That's what he's calling us to do now. To shave the head and wearing a sackcloth. In other words, we should be repenting for the sins of our fathers and for our sins.
Right.
But he says, instead, there is joy and jubilation. You partying like it's 1999. Killing cattle, slaughtering sheep. You're eating meat and drinking wine. You're partying. You say, let's eat and drink for tomorrow we may die. And that's how people live today. Live fast and die young.
Right.
So y'all got to answer for that. He said, certainly this is wrongdoing. It will not be forgiven of you until you die. If you ask for death, you're going to get it. So don't play with Yah. No playing with the Most High. Not at all.
That's a fact, Katria. Don't get it twisted.
I think we better change up a little because we got these same inclinations. We want to have a good time. We want to eat, drink, and be merry. We want to party. But we're not fasting. We're not repenting. We're not asking Yah to forgive us and have mercy on us and help us in this situation. We trying to come up with solutions of our own. Just like these people right here.
Mm-hmm.
They stay the water. They build the water. They going to get their weapons.
Right. Gautrio, what was that song we listened? Who sung that song? Gonna have a fucking good time. Gonna party.
That's James Brown, man. James Brown.
Yeah, okay.
Some of us just the same way.
We want a funky good time.
Yeah, man. Sister Yehudi, she's probably on mute. I don't know what happened to her. She usually has something to say.
Yeah, I was because I was listening.
Okay.
I'm so believer. If I'm doing something, you gotta listen, not to have all that background music. I mean, noise.
You try to be funny.
Oh God! Nah, I wasn't that was, trying that time.
Hey, so beauty. That was funny. That was real subtle. That was a real subtle play hook. All that background noise music. All right, so.
Oh, I'll be ready in a minute. I was just
meditating on what he was saying about Yahuda.
Right.
And at that particular time, how Yahuda was punished. Dang, it seemed like we were just punished a lot, weren't we?
We kept up. We didn't learn anything. The definition of insanity. Kept doing the same thing, expecting different results.
Don't we do that today?
You better believe it.
Wow. Yes, we do. But with Proverbs, like I said, all of chapter 15, going to the right and the wrong, the righteous and the unrighteous. And I believe it was King Solomon that wrote this. But some King Solomon didn't write, which is okay, too.
Right.
Okay. Let me get back.
Okay.
Continue on. I'm going to start in a minute.
Okay.
What I'm in chapter
22.
No, we're still talking about Isaiah.
Right. So you have no commentary?
I was explaining, making a statement what Papatriel was saying.
Okay.
I admit, I don't know everything about 22. I haven't really, truthfully speaking, studied as extensively Isaiah as I have other books. I have to admit that. So sometimes I'm quiet because I'm listening, plus
right.
I'm learning.
Okay.
I have to listen.
Okay.
No. Mm-hmm.
All right, then. Well, you ready to get started in
Proverbs.
Okay. All right. Yeah, we need them. Welcome to the club. Ain't no fun when a rabbit got the gun.
So we at chapter 13, Proverbs? Are we at 13?
No. Are we?
Yes.
Are we?
Thank you.
I thought I was going to call on Sister Hootie. Sister Avia.
Avia. Yeah, because she knows. I got to give her credit. She be on it.
Yep.
I thank the Most High for her. I got to just have acknowledgement.
Yeah, she good people.
It's good to acknowledge what people do. There's nothing wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
Chapter 13.
So she didn't call in to correct you, so must be right.
That's right. A wise son accepts his father's discipline or instruction. In some cases, they accept. You think so? But a scoffer shall not listen to rebuke. Haven't I seen that?
Yeah.
From the fruit of the mouth, a man eats the good. Fire of the treacherous is for violence, which is true. Like whatever Cartwheel speak, it speak of peace. People we know in the streets that speak, their desire is nothing but what? Violence.
Mm-hmm.
He who watches over his mouth guards his beads. Some scripture says, one who keeps his mouth keeps his life. He that opens wide his lips shall have destruction.
Man, you know what, Social Hootie? Cartrell, by my experience and observation, that is true. All they had to do was go to food books and TikToks and see how we act in cities. We get loud, rambunctious, anything come out of our mouths. We don't have a guard over our tongues. We just say anything. You're right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, some stuff is funny, good humor,
mm-hmm.
and not negative, you know, but there's a lot out there that's crazy, right?
Number
people
four.
People don't think that there's consequences to what they say.
Right, because
so
it's not happening like you know why, don't you, Patria?
What, do I know why what?
Why people think they don't have consequences. My observation is it's not happening really right then and there. You know, we're living in a generation, people want stuff happening right now, materializing right now. Oh, ain't nothing going to happen to me. Then some of them get old and then wonder why nobody don't visit them. It happens when it happens. There's no time dispensation on it. Number four, the being of the lazy one prays but has not, while the being of the hard workers are enriched. A righteous one hates a lying word, but a wrong man is loathsome, and comes to shame. Oh, true. But a righteous one hates, I said that, but a woman, no, but I repeated that, I'm sorry. Six, righteousness watches over him who is perfect in the way. The Most High, hallelujah. But wrongness over those who sinner. There is one who makes himself rich and has none at all, and one who makes himself poor, yet has great riches. So not the material thing, but the ransom of a man's life is his riches, but the poor does not hear rebuke. The light of the righteous rejoices. Hallelujah. But the lamp of the wrong is put out. By pride comes only strife. Ooh, I know a lot of prideful people. But wisdom is when those who take advice. How many of us don't take advice? You get an attitude. I'm like, why are you getting an attitude? First thing comes, some of them, the young ones, I'm grown. I said, well, if you're grown, then that's part of you taking advice. That's being an adult. The light, well, I said that, him. By pride comes only strife, but wisdom is with those who take advice. You know that again. 11. Wealth from vanity diminishes. But he who gathers by hand increases. Expectancy drawn out makes the heart sick. But a longing comes true is a tree of life.
Positive is different from yours.
Go ahead.
The 12th verse says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but desire fulfilled is a tree of life.
It says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when desire comes, it is a tree of life. Whosoever despises the word shall be destroyed, but he that fears the commandment shall be rewarded. The law of the wise is the foundation of life, to depart from the snares of death. This thing, good understanding gives favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. 16. Every prudent man deals with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly. That ain't funny. It is the way it's written. 17. A wicked messenger falls into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is health. Hallelujah. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuse instruction, but he that guards reproof shall be honored.
The desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is an abomination to fools to depart from evil. He that walks with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. 21. Evil pursues sinners, but to the righteous, good shall be repaid. A good man leave an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Such food is the tillage of the poor, but there is that is destroyed for what of judgment. That ain't quite, let me read that for me, please. I didn't quite understand that. Cockfield.
Yes.
Oh, would you repeat 23? I'm not understanding 23.
Abundant food is in the uncultivated ground of the poor, but it is swept away by injustice.
I like that. Yes.
Abundant food.
Go ahead.
Means that you have to cultivate the ground to get it. Right? If food is abundant in the uncultivated ground of the poor, that's why the people are poor, because they're not cultivating it.
Because he said, our ancestors anyway, he told our ancestors when we go to a foreign land, you build your home, not the home, and plant, which we did.
And we can see a lot of this today in Bill Gates buying up a lot of farmland. He's not going to feed the people where they should be fed. So what he's doing really is unjust, because he wants to control, have a monopoly on the food.
Right. You're right. Just like a lot of these major companies, people don't know. J.P. Morgan, Rockefeller, Carnegie, Ford. He who spares his rod takes his son. He who loves him seeks him with discipline. The righteous eat for the satisfying of the deed, but the stomach of the wrong is lacking. Any comment?
Controversial one. He who withholds his rod hates his son. In other words, spare the rod, spoil the child. But he who loves him disciplines him diligently, which means fathers have to guard the lives of their son while they're under their care. And it doesn't necessarily mean corporal punishment. You just have to put your children in disciplines where they're focused on bettering themselves.
Sometimes it's just a mild rebuke. Sometimes it's just putting them in their place. Sometimes it's just taking something away from them, as Country has said. It's not always the extreme corporal discipline.
Right, not always corporal punishment.
Well, I keep my daughters in check. That's why they do their best to hide from me. She can run, but she can't hide. Okay? But I don't put, now I love my children, don't get it twisted. But I don't put up with no foolishness. Okay? So they can't
but you know, they'll thank you.
Go ahead, sister.
They'll thank you. They'll thank you. They, by their conduct, as they get older, they'll thank you because they will compare, especially a male that they're interested in, they'll look at their dad's qualities. They realize their dad took care of them, protected them, and that's what they're going to want from their future husband. So you give an example. It doesn't matter how old they are. So you're doing a good job.
Well, yeah, as far as corporal punishment when they were little, I can count the times I spanked them in corporal. And probably have two fingers left on one hand. maybe I should have corporal punished them a little bit more. But I always say you don't try to chastise them. Mm-hmm. And these young folks now, it just seems that chastisement alone don't do, but you don't know any end. You know, that's why you got to keep them in check, keep chastising. Because I don't know what the end outcome going to be for my daughters. Will they come back on from the dark side of the moon? Sometimes I talk to the TV. Come to the light, Carol Ann. Come to the light sometimes.
I have to use psychological warfare on my daughter.
You
and,
do?
When she was younger. I had
right.
to use psychological warfare.
Right.
She was the type to take great.
Okay.
So she, I learned with her, you have to take away certain things with her.
Exactly.
Take away.
Mm-hmm.
That hurt her more than anything else. And if I was going to give her a whooping, as we call it, spanking.
Right.
One time I raised the belt up and she was trying to get away from me. She knocked everything over. She hurt herself. And I just stood there like, oh, my job is done.
Yeah, this is, you beat yourself up.
She beat us. Not that
yeah.
last.
Oh, you beat yourself up. I ain't got to do no more. See, I got a lot of corporal punishment when I was a child, and rightly so. I deserved it, but it didn't do any good. But, you know, you got to have something much more than corporal punishment. You got to have education. You have to have instructions. You have to have a direction. You got to have just corporal punishment alone does not suffice. Like I said, I got plenty of them. Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, we call it
whoopings. Whoopings, yeah.
No, we call that. And when Sinbad, I said, the way we discipline our children are different from other nations.
Right.
Not all the time. We're not violent people.
Right.
Verbally, we say things. Like I've said, if you don't be quiet, I'm going to knock the teeth down your throat. It's not threatening.
Right.
And I'm not saying it's right, but that was our style. That child knew we meant business.
Yeah, well, you was using psychological warfare.
I heard you growing up.
Right, you knew that you were about to hit your daughter in the teeth, okay? But you were psyching her out. Yeah, you were just psyching her out. She didn't know.
No, they know. Well, she did try me when they first had this thing with 911 you can call because children were being abused.
Right.
And something she didn't like that I disciplined her on, it was more verbal. She said, well, I'm going to call 911. And I said, well, not unless I break your fingers.
How old she did? How old was she then, Sister Judy?
13.
Oh, man, she was feeling upset, wasn't she?
Mm-hmm, 13. She looked at me. She didn't try
it. Mama don't like you looking at them that look. See, mama's used again that look. You can't get a look back to mama. Mama hurt you. Okay?
That was the funniest thing. What? Mothers had to use creative ways. Or maybe that, because you dad.
Right.
I don't care how soft y'all talk. Y'all just say one word and these children will straighten up. That man's voice.
Yeah, Joy. I look at her wrong. She have tears rolling down her face. You know what I mean? Even now, and she's in my presence. Yeah. I can listen. Right.
They're in their 20s. Wait till they get in their 30s. It's different. They're still trying to find themselves in their 20s.
Right.
Dads still have a great impact, and that's a good thing.
Right.
That's a wonderful thing.
Right.
Because how many parents, male or female, mother or father, lose their child because that child is not listening?
Well, you know, they don't want, and then they want to be friends with their children. It's okay to be friendly with your children. But, you know, they're not your friends. It's okay to be friendly with them. And you got to let that know. I tell my, you know, I'm friendly with you, but I ain't your friend. I ain't your homeboy. Okay? There's protocol and procedure in the dynamics of this relationship. Although I suspect, I hope the Most High find me friendly, but he ain't my friend. Okay?
Well, not only I'm not looking just at what the parents aren't doing. I mean, I see your point being correct. Another side, parents who try to teach their children the right way. And sometimes, and I'll say this, some of us don't really live life, and we put on things we lose touch with what's going on to help prepare our children for this cruel world. You know, because if they have some foundational teaching, despite which way they go, you know you've done a good job, that foundation's been laid. You know, just like I may not agree that my daughter, for example, and I'll put it out and I tell people,
shrimp
sometimes. She wasn't raised that way, but she's an adult now. That's her choice. I questioned her years ago, but I didn't sit up there and start, she knows. She's 38. So there's nothing I can do about that. But her foundation, where she do things for her mom, and she conduct herself respectfully. See what I'm saying? I'm being an example. Or my son, he's not combative, very laid back.
Right.
And you look at some traits with the children that you know some things have helped in what you have said.
Right.
Even if they haven't lived with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people can give a great and good positive input on your children. And I'm speaking of parents that are trying, just like many times, even in their middle 20s and late 20s, I've come to them and say, you know what, I was in error about this.
Right.
Let's sit down and talk about blah, blah, blah. Or even now, I say, you know, I made a mistake on this, whatever. But
mm-hmm.
that doesn't mean that they, and I'm going to say it, respect for me as their mom, we'll discuss it. They're older now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially my son has two sons.
Right.
And I don't subject myself to the fact that his teachings are already through the scriptures is implanted in him and how he raises his son. By my example, not only by the way I carry myself, but also what I've taught through the scriptures and shown him different things. Even though I didn't know everything, and they already knew. I didn't know everything. And I'm saying this to the public. It's not about sharing business. I get tired of that. We need to share the good things, things, certain life, if you feel comfortable in explaining. Because there's people out there that really need help or really need to know they're going right.
Right.
Because every child is different. You know, just because you got two girls, they're different. They got a lot of similarities because they're female. But you've done a great job. And you're going to continue as long as you live because you have that in you, just like Parkiel, he has that in him.
Right.
So we gotta help our young ones. That's why I was in child care, and when my children were going to school, not only to help them, but help other children that they grew up with. So I did what I had to do, and I do what I can under my circumstance. That's me. Some people may do different, and that's okay, but do whatever. It's a good example of that unity, of getting out there helping people, but be wise. Hello.
Right. Well, you know what? Going back up to chapter, verse 15, this is so insightful. Good understanding gains favor.
Mm-hmm.
The way of the unfaithful is hard. Every
mm-hmm.
prudent man acts with knowledge, but a fool mm-hmm. lays open his folly. Only thing you have to do, and the evidence doesn't lie, look in our communities, go to TikTok, go to food book, they lay open their folly. It's true.
Mm-hmm. That's another thing I had to teach them to help them to navigate or find someone to assist me if I needed so, to navigate what's going on in the temptations of the world. Just like I know it's in itself. Like Facebook in itself is an evil. It's what is put on it. It's what people.
Yeah.
Because there are some other things on Facebook that's very informative.
Well, it's educational, Sister Hootie. It's educational. And, and juxtapositioning to what Yah says and what we use it. Just like, and I concur with you. A hammer in itself is not innately evil. People use it to build houses. Cartel use hammers to build houses and nail something together. Mm-hmm. But you can get a fool laying up in that folly, take that hammer and bat somebody in the head with it. Okay?
Right. Like when they say gun violence, I said, no, people are violent. It's not the gun. It's what you use the gun for. Guns are used for food.
Right.
But you're using it to hurt other people.
Right.
And this has always been a violent nation. See, we've been bamboozled thinking that these other nations, some of them, aren't as bad as the United States.
Not in comparison to this Western Hemisphere, this United, so-called United States of America, not in comparison, because it was created in violence, it was bred in violence, and it endures in violence. And so that's why I say it at the beginning in the commentary. When they make reference to the violence in our community, we have many violence. We're only violent mostly toward one another and each other. But we better not bring it across the bridge. But they're major violence. They are major not only within their borders, as in the case of those so-called rioters in the 60s, and as in the case of some police officers. But they can dictate to us what our milli values. You better not bring it across the bridge. If you do, we got something for you. But we can't dictate to them, which is major violence, such as the case of Nagasaki and Hiroshima, such as the case of the Native Americans, such as the case of their abuse toward us. But we better not, they can take it across the bridge, and ain't a damn thing we can do about it, not physically. The only thing we can do is know who allowed the situation to be set in motion and go to the Most High.
I agree with most of it, but I know you're looking at the thousands of people and more that died in the 1940s. And I'm not saying for that time it was right under the circumstances, because I was like that when I said, why are they putting them Japanese people? Why did they do that, putting them in encampments? But until I started learning more about the Japanese history, I don't feel so bad what the United States did at that time, knowing that.
Okay, if that was the case, you're going to justify that. What about the non-mistreatment of the German Americans, the Italian Americans? They didn't do them that way.
Who, the Japanese? Oh, yes, they
did. Well, America didn't treat the German Americans like that. They didn't treat the Italian American like that. So why justify it? I'll ask you the question. Why just like them putting a Japanese in internment camps?
Oh, you're saying why didn't they do that to Germany or the other?
Yeah, German Americans, Italian Americans.
Because they were at war with Japan.
They were at war against Germany. They were at war against Italy.
Well, it's deeper than that, because it was a political war. It's so deep. It's the fact you had Germans already here contributing. They even got German scientists and things like that were working for the United States.
Yeah, already contributing. Japanese had big communities in Los Angeles, California, and so on and so forth. They were making contributions. So why a blanket character assassinate a whole bunch of people?
Well,
because they were at war against the Japanese Americans, not the Japanese, the Japanese, the Germans, and the Italians.
Let me tell you what weighs it out.
Right.
First of all, Japan has its own nation, and a lot of Japanese were compensated. We aren't, and we never will be.
That doesn't stand to reason.
We'll
Germany had its own nation.
You gotta know the history. I know the history. What little I know of Japan, they had, first of all, America did not, at that time, did not want to lose any more American troops. number one. Number two, Japan people, they were training even the children to arm themselves when if America decides to come over and fight. America knew they were going to lose this little island, this little bitty island. See, war, the art of war is something else. There's really no right or wrong. But for them to save the American people, that's their perception. I'm not saying it's right. They had to do what they did. Simple as that.
Okay. Well, I said that to say this. They treated the Japanese Americans the way they treated them because they weren't white. That's the bottom line. The Germans were white.
Oh, yeah, they were
white.
But...
And so under the code of universal white race supremacy, we look out for one another. But them slant-eyed, yellow-eyed, the kung fu juja, we gonna put them in a internment camp. Now, if they were all so wrong, why'd you pay them? Why'd you pay them reparation? Because all of them went wrong.
Well, you can look at it that way, too. But basically, they have a nationhood. When I say that, they have land. And it's throughout history. They're Japanese. We don't have a heritage like that. That's all I'm trying to get to. Regardless if you agree or don't agree about what they shouldn't have did back in the 40s, it was done for various reasons. But as you notice, when certain groups are mistreated, all the groups that come into this land, even some of the Africans, are treated better after the fact. We're the only ones that aren't treated. We don't have no compensation. There's no compensation. There's no, what do you call that word, Yamsu? Restitution? Is it restitution?
Reparations.
Reparations, thank you. We're the only group of people that don't have reparations.
And they don't pay on either.
That's what I meant, yes, earlier. Nope.
And so anyone that they designated that are people of color, and they designated us as people of color, and along with the Japanese. So that's why they mistreated them, because that's universal white race supremacy at its best. But it wasn't about the mistreat. And Germans were marching in the streets of the United States of America with Nazi flags. I don't know what the Italians were doing, but I know that some of the Germans were doing that. They were marching in the American street with Nazi
now,
flags.
Let me tell you what they did do, though, a few years. It was in making... They made the German people build their own country. They're
good. After that bomb. Sister, I can guarantee you that maybe they did do that, but I can assure you they financially assisted them in doing so.
In time, they did, but in the beginning, Germany had to rebuild themselves, okay? I'm saying, you know... Sometimes it's not black and white where because it's the race thing. Because I even said even some people from Africa, what's the word I want to use, weren't ridiculed because of their color. It's not just the color. They utilized that to divide us because even back then they divided the Native American, the Chinese American, and the African American, as they called us back then. They pit those three groups against one another because they knew once the three groups got together, to their point of view, we would overthrow the United States. That's from their projection. And because it was more economic, like all the wars are more economic and political.
Well, we're all, us two, are too socially engineered and conditioned to do anything such as that matter. Because that's why they scream about picking a so-called black judge for the Supreme Court woman. Because our people work so hard for the oppressors. If only they worked that hard for themselves to unify themselves. They do all the right things. They go to the right colleges. They do all the right things to teach their laws, their justice, and so on and so forth. If we only worked as half as much to unify ourselves, to cry out to the Most High, and so on and so forth, we'd be a whole lot better off.
Totally agree with that.
Yeah, because what they're doing with them sisters is simply showcasing. Those sisters have no power within the confines of the context of this judicial system. you know, has no power. What's up? They're just showboats, show ponies. They've always had a Negro or a Negress on a plantation. They got like to show out to the next plantation. He's a good boxer. She was a nice-looking wench. She cooked good. He can play the banjo.
You know, I look at our culture. I say this. At this point, not back then, we were more together. We're like a three-legged chair. You can sit on the three-legged chair depending on what part, what leg is out.
Mm-hmm.
We're not whole yet. You would do better sitting on a four-legged chair, right?
A toilet?
Once we get, that's just a metaphor. Once we get that point, that point, that unity meaning that we actually do things for our brothers and sisters, then we can do a better job. Katria, I know that you're kind of quiet in that background.
Let's take it around the world somewhere.
Before we got in that philosophical conversation, I was 20 to 21. Evil pursues sinners. Something you said about people don't think that that you? Can you please put on mute? I know there's not too loud for that.
No, that's not me.
When it says, I'm going to try to talk over. It says, evil pursues sinners, but good is repaid in righteousness. I don't think you should recognize the good that is repaid to you if you're walking in righteousness. And we see daily what the sinners do. It says evil pursues sinners. So evil is after sinners. That's, I am speculating. Shalom,
I don't know what that background noise is, but it's so hard to understand what you say.
Yeah, we got this background noise. We couldn't hear. Okay, go ahead, Katria. I'm sorry.
Well, this proverb in particular talks about the relationship between the parent and the child.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to keep in mind that the people that wrote this are our fathers and our mothers.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been relaying this message to us from generation to generation, because
mm-hmm.
this is the format on how we as a people, as a nation, and all people should be conducting themselves on the earth. You're either doing what's good and pleasing in Yah's eyesight, or you're walking the path of wickedness and sin. And it's clearly spelled out. So we have to teach our children these paths right here. No matter how much the world changes, these are the disciplines that have to be carried out from generation to generation.
Mm-hmm.
And insofar as war, there is right and wrong in war, which is why they have war crimes.
Mm-hmm.
And dropping a bomb, an atomic bomb, on two cities in a non-combat zone is a war crime. Japanese attack Pearl Harbor, which is a military target. Dropping bombs on Nagasaki and Hiroshima are the most atrocious war crimes any nation has ever committed. You drop nuclear bombs on innocent, non-combatant citizens, and that's a war crime.
What I found is a little more to it. They weren't all innocent. This is what I'm trying to say. I'm not, they were preparing to what happened. The representatives of the United States went to the ambassadors of Japan to say surrender, and it was about the ambassador to relinquish power from the ambassador and say, okay, you can keep your king or whatever, your king, you can keep him, but surrender, and, you know, we can live in peace, and these are the terms, and we can negotiate the terms. See, nobody talks about that. That went on for a very long time. Because the guy who made it, he didn't make it. Now, this is his perception. I'm not using a personal thing. He thought he would use it for peace, not war. Otherwise, he didn't think they were going to drop it. It only had enough for three. But they probably had more. But the point was they didn't want to go that route because they did the diplomatic route. Now, even if it was a smokescreen or deceptive, that remains to be seen. It might have been deceptive. But the Japanese did not think they would do it. They felt that they can win. Now, first we got to find out why did the Japanese attack Pearl Harbor? Once we find out, that led us to the war because people don't know what really war is all about. And once they find out, they go, what? Over this, over that? So I'm not negating to say it was correct what America has done, but what led up to that and what negotiations took place.
See, a war crime is a war crime, no matter what led up to it.
I mean, we could say the Nazis did a war crime of killing not only their own people.
A lot of war
you
crimes.
You could bring up United States
for war of
war.
So we're war, there are rules. As a matter of fact, we had rules of war. There's rules of war in Torah. You couldn't just go into another man's land and do what you wanted to do. No. There's rules for war. And when
you
violate,
you're
supposed to be brought up for war crimes. Mm-hmm. And what America did to Japan, no matter what led it up, you drop nuclear bombs on innocent people. Non-combatants, non-military targets. And in war, you don't do that. You don't strike that civilian in war.
Well, in the scriptures, even he told Israel to kill the dogs, the animals, the children, the women, the everything.
That's something else.
And that's the most
high.
That's on a whole different level. That's not the president of the United States. That's not the prime minister of Australia or the queen of England. The most high can tell you to do whatever you want to do. And that's his prerogative. But no, a human being has no right to be doing what they're doing. Such is the case of Russia going to invade Ukraine. But the most I can tell you, kill everything. Kill the birds, the bees, everything. And you better do it. That's the creator. Can the pot tell the potter, I'm not going to do it? You
and
can't
it cost
do
us because we didn't follow his instructions. He told us to eliminate all the Canaanites, but we didn't, did we? And it got us in trouble. They corrupted our ways and caused us to get kicked out the land. And we should have wiped them out like y'all told us to do.
Oh, so Moses had his reasons. It wasn't personal.
Yeah, he did under the circumstances at that time. I'm not saying it was correct for the United States to do what it did, that it was so righteous. It's from their perception of what was going on at that time because they
wrapped
it.
It doesn't matter what their perception is. It's a war crime, Ima. It's a war crime. People got all kinds of perceptions.
But
the people that took over the Capitol
doesn't matter. This is what I'm saying. They're not hold accountable for it.
Yes,
and Japan's poor after all
they
that
will
happened.
Be.
Never
they are
more.
Going to be held accountable
be.
For it.
Innocent women
well,
and children.
If the United States did accountable for it, they will.
Yeah, innocent women and children died. Non-combatants. Burned to a crisp. Photograph on walls, little child standing there, a woman standing up there, had nothing to do with the government of Japan. That does
yes,
not justify
it. That's what I'm saying. Go back and do the archives. They had prepared, the emperor, through his military might, prepared the people for war. They were training for war, the women, the men, the children, just like China does the same thing. I'm just telling you, I'm not saying it was right or necessary to bomb, but I'm telling you, give you some background. They were being trained. If the United States came in, they were ready to fight. Children,
and,
women, old people, whatever. Okay?
And Master Tehuti, you believe in what the oppressor says. Now you taking on, I'm going to believe
no,
what the oppressor
no,
says.
No. It's not about belief. See, you're getting it twisted. It's not about belief, dear. It's about circumstances that led up to the reason why it happened. Now, be it right or wrong, that's what you're saying. Well, it was wrong. So I said, okay. But let's opinions based on facts of what happened. I'm not saying it was right for them to go and do that, but I see what led up to it. That's all I'm saying.
Sister, I see people have their set of facts, and I see how these people have their set of facts now, which is a bunch of lies. So all of a sudden, I'm supposed to believe what the president writes with his set of facts. He writes the history book. I don't have any investigative mode to go over there and ask
him
this.
Well, you need
to
think better of yourself, young Sue, because yes, we do write our history too, huh? Yes, we do.
Okay. All right.
I understand your point. Look, I'm skeptical of this government, very much so, and I don't agree with it. Okay, let's we can all agree on that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know people of color, different ethnic groups, have contributed to a lot of factual things that happen in history. A lot of that stuff I didn't get from Caucasian. I got from Japanese. I got from Chinese, some history in Africa and various other places. Because I know you're right. But on the other hand, if you look carefully, they'll tell you some truth, like the church. They say they don't believe in Jesus. And they'll tell you where it came from.
All right.
But the Most High reveals all things.
All right. Well, so Shahudi, what is your closing remark on anything we studied?
First of all, distinguish between the righteous and the wicked. And it was a wise person that wrote this down, the difference. What happens with the life of the wicked and what happens in the life of a person who walks in righteousness. This should carry on even today in the erroneous 2022, which we know it is not 2022, but this is what they gave. But in today's time, how do we manifest what we've learned? And sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes we don't. The first best source is the Creator. Just talk. And be real in the conviction that whatever it is that your desire, that you want to change. But it's very enlightening and meditate on these words. Because tomorrow it still be the righteous and the wicked. All the way up to chapter 15 in Proverbs. So hopefully we have some good dialogue. With that, I say hope ones on the East Coast and the South stay warm. No harm comes to you, no, and you harm no one else. All blessings. Good night.
Praise God. Contreras, what is your closing remarks and our comments?
My prayer is that our people have an ear to hear and understand, a heart to understand the words that our King Solomon is putting down on paper, because we've been deceived with Christianity, and it was intentional to lead us to our destruction. Because there's a clear path between doing what's right and doing what's wrong. And the consequences are severe for doing wrong. This is why they don't want our people studying the Old Testament, because there are consequences to our actions. And we become irresponsible in our actions, and it's so hard to change our ways now based on how we've been taught. So we have to learn how to rebuke ourselves in order to change our ways, to get back in line with the codifications that the Most High is giving us through our King, King Solomon, because we are the descendants, the children that they speak into. And we have to impart the same wisdom to our children so that they walk, you know, the right path. In spite of what everybody else is doing, we have to walk this path that we've been given. Praise God.
Praise God. I'd like to thank God for the opportunity to study his word, to let his footstep be our pathways, so we won't continue to lead to our own understanding, because we're at the mercy of our oppressors, truth be told. And unfortunately, some of us like to emulate our oppressors. The Most High said, become not like your oppressors and choose none of their ways. And that means none of their ways. So let us continue to study the Most High way. Let those ways direct and order our steps and govern our tongues. May the Most High bless each of us and give us wisdom and understanding and humility in the process. And we'd like to offer you parting gifts, fellow students. No, we're not going to UPS. What you're going to do, and we hope you do, when you get off this phone tonight, you get down in prayer, turn to the east, facing Jerusalem, raise your hand to the Most High. Ask the Most High to forgive you your iniquities and make a vow to him if you need to get that wisdom and understanding and honor that vow. Ask the Most High for a new spirit and a new heart. That new spirit would help you to be contrite and humble toward the Most High. Not wrong because you got caught. Wrong because you feel that you're wrong and you're indicted, yourself indicted for it. You really want to change. And also humble in respect to the Most High and each other. Also a new heart. That heart would be somewhat similar to King David's heart. The Most High said King David is a man after my own heart. That would suggest, infer, and imply to you, that's what I need. A heart that loves the Most High with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your brothers and sisters as yourself. What does that suggest to you? It suggests to me, you must first love yourself. Because if you hate what remotely looks like you, and you hate what you look like, it's virtually impossible to love what remotely looks like you. It's the third step of righteousness. Praise Yah. Katriel Sushihuti, want to say good night, shalom, to the brothers and sisters, fellow students.
May the Most High bless us. Have a good evening. Most High be with us.
Praise Yah.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom. I love you both, brothers.
We love
and
you too,
people
sir.
Out there to do. Hold on.
Praise
God. Have a good night or good morning wherever you are listening. Shalom.
Thank you very much, sister. Shalom.
Get ready, there's a train a-coming. You don't need no baggage, you just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the diesels humming. You don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord. I say you just thank the Lord. You just thank the Lord. So people get ready for the train to Jordan, picking up passengers coast to coast. Faith is the key. Open the doors and board 'em. There's hope for all. Among those loved the most, you know they've been loved the most. They've been loved the most. There ain't no room for the hopeless sinner who would hurt all mankind just to save his own. Have pity on those whose chances grow thinner. For there's no hiding place against the kingdom's throne. You know there's no hiding place. There's no hiding place. So people get ready, there's a train a-coming. You don't need no baggage, you just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the diesels humming. You don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord. I say you just thank the Lord. You just thank the Lord. That's why I'm here to say that I believe. I believe. We're gonna make it one day. Brothers, I believe. I believe. I believe, sure enough, a true, true.